Hello and welcome to Rewatchable episode number 339. Today we are wrapping up Pitch, the series that we've been covering for the last 10 weeks or so, and we are excited to talk about it. But before we get into that, I want to let you know how you can contact us because we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at re_watchable. And you can also come find us in our Facebook group. We're on Facebook as Rewatchables Rewinders. You'll know it's us when you see Jenny Baker as our cover photo. Again, like I said, we are covering Pitch, all of it, all spoilers, all everything. That is what we were discussing today. And who is discussing this today, you might ask? Well, I'm Danielle. I'm your host, and I am joined by all of our Rewatchable hosts that have been on Pitch this season. So we have Brittany, Natalie, Ariana, and Kendra. Hello, ladies.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
All right. So it's been a week, but I would still like to do some fun facts so that people can get used to our voices, so that when we are talking about the series in general, they can kind of separate us all out. So as far as fun facts go, Brittany, would you be able to start us off?
Sure. So fun times. The only fun I've pretty much had this week is I watched, and Natalie knows this, I watched probably the only good quarantine specific content that should ever come out of this quarantine. It was called Staged, and it was put together in the UK and it stars Michael Sheen and David Tennant, or David Tennant and Michael Sheen, depending on the episode. And it's just these little 15-minute episodes of, you know, them talking over video chat, trying to get together with the director, Simon Evans, to rehearse lines for six characters in search of an author, because they want to be able to, you know, be ahead of the curve once things start to reopen in London's West End. So they're trying to get rehearsals off the ground so that they can be ready to hit the ground running and be one of the first plays to open. They're playing themselves in a weird kind of meta way, but they're also playing characters. And it hits so many emotional beats in 15-minute episodes where it's hilarious and the banter is so good. But then there's like a really sad like side plot happening with Michael Sheen's story. And it's just absolutely incredible. There are two unbelievable guest stars that come in, and it just was so wonderful to watch for like an hour. It was such a great morning yesterday. It worked so well. It was great quality. Their partners were involved, and I just don't think anything will top it. I know we've been watching a lot of fundraisers and people like, you know, they're doing the morning shows from home and they're doing news from home, and the quality has been getting better and better, but this is just, it was unbelievable. And I really hope that television production can figure out how to show video chat in on screen going forward, because this was just absolutely phenomenal. And it made me happy for an hour yesterday. So that was nice.
That's lovely. I love that. Thank you, Brittany. Kendra, would you like to give us your fun fact next?
Sure. I went on my first overnight hike last week. We hiked in, brought our tent and stuff, and camped out, and then hiked out in the morning. And my dog adopts, like, she's the chillest dog in the world, but she adopts kind of like a guard dog mentality when she's in an unfamiliar outdoor setting. Like if like a group of people are sitting around, she'll sit kind of like outside the circle and like watching outward to protect us. So she was doing that, and we were camping by a river, and she saw a beaver swim up the river, and she got so excited. But I think beavers can be kind of vicious, so we were trying to stop her from going up to the beaver, which she was not happy about. She kept like going for it, and then kept being like, Charlie, come back. And then she would just like take like a wider route to try to get back to the beaver to like fool us into thinking that she wasn't going there. And eventually I just sat down with her, and she was shaking so hard. She was so excited. And she never got to meet the beaver, but she got real close, and it was exciting for her and me.
How big is a beaver?
Like, she's 75 pounds, and it looked to be like the same size as her, like a little thinner. It's like a massive rodent, and a lot of its mass is like its big tail.
That's crazy to me, because I don't know. I feel like I've only ever seen, like, beaver cartoons, and they make them seem, like, small. Sorry. But you're describing something giant.
I know. Now yeah. I'm, like, a little terrified of beavers.
Like half of it is tail. Half of it is tail, so its body is not, like, that intimidating.
Is it, like, as big as a raccoon or bigger than a raccoon?
I'd say bigger than a raccoon.
Yeah, I only saw a raccoon last year for the first time, but...
Wow.
I feel like I've got a very skewed idea of beavers because of, like, in the old Chronicles of Narnia movie, there's, like, a beaver and it's, like, the size of, like, a human child, and obviously they're the fake talking beavers. Obviously that's not real, but I know people get, like, really confused about the size of some Australian animals, like wombats and stuff. They, like, don't know, like, proportionally how big that is. And I feel like a beaver, I don't know. Like, bigger than a raccoon... Bigger than, like, I don't know.
Bigger than, like, an otter. Like, bigger yeah. than those, smaller than a seal.
Yeah, if it was big as a seal, I would be concerned.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very excited for your dog.
She was pretty pumped. It was a good night for her.
Too bad she couldn't make a new friend, but...
Yeah, the beaver did, like, swat its tail on the water eventually, so that could have been her, so I think we made the right decision.
Sounds like it. Natalie, would you like to go next with your fun fact?
I guess, yeah, tonight is, for me, nighttime. The first time I am podcasting in my library, I think, properly. I think I did one here when we were still setting up, which is meant to be my podcasting room, like, permanently, which is the front room in my house, and I've got bookshelves on either side of the fireplace, and it's meant to be where my desk is and where I podcast because it's quite locked in and it doesn't have, like, too many external walls, so the sound is good. But during the corona, Leo has had to use this room for her work from home with her large design computer, and I have not been in here very much, even though it is meant to be my private room. I sacrificed it. But tonight I'm here podcasting from it. And I think it feels good. I think the sound feels really deadened in a good way. Yeah, because I've been podcasting in one of the upstairs bedrooms, but they share a wall with the neighbours, and my neighbours are a very funny gay couple of guys in their 50s, one of whom is, like, a really enthusiastic, soft kind of bunny, and one of whom is, like, a very aggressive, grumpy man who gets pissy about things very easily and had issues with our dog barking when we first arrived. I mean, the dog shouldn't have been barking. He was freaking out anyway. But I did not want to wake them up at what would be, like, right now it's 11:28 p.m. on a Sunday night, yelling about baseball directly into their ears, because it's a very old attached, like, both sides terraced attached house, and that is their bedroom. And so I didn't think they would want to be a part of the conversation, so I am podcasting in the room I'm meant to podcast in, which is very exciting. Just looking at all my books, probably getting distracted. In the long run, I hope for it to be much better once the quarantine finishes and I get to actually sort out all of the books and stuff in here. But, yeah, it's a welcome change, I think. It's not been a very interesting week. I mean, it's been a lot going on, but, you know, not very fun. So that's about all I've got.
Well, yeah, like you said, your sound is great. And I love the fact that you have a library. And once it is all set up, I'd love to see photos.
Yeah, it's pretty messy book-wise at the moment. The books are not sorted in any proper way, and we need to build in some extended shelves aside from the freestanding bookshelf. But yeah, it is my favorite room of the house, and I have really not been in it during the quarantine because I had to sacrifice it, which is, like, not that big a deal. There's so much going on that I need to sort out elsewhere, but in the long run it will be my room. And if any of you ever come to visit, there's a sofa bed in here, though I do have a second bedroom with a real bed as well. But, yeah, I've had a few friends say that they will be choosing to take the sofa bed in the library, which is, could be fun.
Love it. Yeah, my name is on that reservation list, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, and I went to the beach today, but that's not that interesting. Not to swim. We just looked at the ocean.
Oh, that's lovely too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No beavers.
No beavers. Ariana, what is your fun fact for this week?
My fun fact finally just settled down. It's that I did not get any sleep last night because my cat is being insane. I don't know. I think that she just took her nap way too late. So then she was up all night and just like jumping.
Raging. And
running. Yeah, having a party all by herself. But she finally settled down. Great timing now that I'm awake.
Nah, you just gotta.
We'll have to make sure she times her naps better today.
Yeah, or just like keep waking her up while she's sleeping. That's my favorite revenge on cats who are up in the middle of the night. But I feel you on that. That's painful. I'm so sorry. So my fun fact for this week is similar to Brittany's and pulls in Ariana a little bit. I have needed some comfort food TV. For the last 2 weeks in between a lot of reading, educating myself, webinars, all that kind of stuff, I've just needed breaks. And so I've actually been turning to kind of unlikely sources that I didn't think about. So I have been watching a lot of Baby Daddy, which is a show that Ariana introduced me to. I think I mainlined an entire season while working one day, which was wonderful. And then I wanted something slightly similar in terms of like setup. And so I started watching Young and Hungry on Netflix. It was a freeform show, not up to the same quality as Baby Daddy, but still some laughs in there. And then yesterday, my roommate and I decided to put on Sense8 because we really needed some hope. And some like feel good humanity kind of vibes. And so we are almost done with season one because we just kept playing one after the other. So I would recommend any of those if anyone needs a short break to try to like recalibrate. They've worked nicely for me.
I love Baby Daddy, as everyone knows. Mm. It's my go-to feel good. There are some problematic elements. I do want to warn people.
Mm-hmm.
There's multiple. But it does let you turn your brain off. I think I was thinking about this yesterday, actually, like after you texted me, like why I like it. And I think I like that I know everyone in the show is trying to do their best and is trying to be nice but like we'll take care of each other at the end of the day. And that makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's just a nice... that word. It's just a nice feeling. It kind of takes away some tension and you don't have to like be worried about anything. So yeah, that's how I've been spending the last week or so in the middle of everything else. But also I've been spending time thinking about pitch and how we would be wrapping it up today, which I'm really interested to get into. Ariana, I see in our doc here that you put in a recap. And while I don't think we normally do them for wrap-up episodes, I like this recap because it's very to the point and it goes, pitch is done. And unless Dan Fogelman gets his way, it's never coming back, which is very, very sad. So let's get into it. Let's get into pitch, I guess us covering it for the last 10, 11 weeks or so. Let's start with highlights of this season or of this show. For you guys, what are some things that stuck out to you that you haven't been able to really get out of your mind since we started watching Pitch, or that perhaps define the show for you?
So I think the biggest thing, especially because of the environment in which we started watching this in, is that I wish there were more sports shows on TV because I just love sports so much. Like yesterday I watched some golf because, you know, that's finally back, and watching this baseball, you know, I just had this like longing to watch sports, but also watch sports in a way that's like dramatic. And I love sports movies. And so I just really liked this take on showing sport on TV and doing it in a way that was all encompassing from the business side, from the personal player side, in the locker room, outside the locker room, traveling, you know, wife and kids at home, and covering it in a unique way. So I think that's one thing that's definitely stuck with me is, you know, what other shows are like this, and there really aren't that many. So I think that's definitely the biggest thing.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I love sports movies as well, and the story of sports and the microcosm of like the high stakes within something that's actually just people getting paid a lot of money to play a children's game kind of like situation. And I guess like there's been a few sports shows, and they're usually like high school dramas, and this is very different to that. Like, you know, I haven't seen Friday Night Lights, but that's obviously a high school drama that's not like 100% focused on sports, but it's like the foundation of it. And then I know, I think the CW's All American is a similar kind of contemporary Friday Night Lights-esque, you know, about a kid in a sports high school team. I can't think of any shows that are about sports that are not that. Oh, what about British? Is there any about like British like soccer or anything? No, it seems to be more a thing for movies, not like a serialized show. Maybe it's like quite hard to do, like to actually get, you know, I guess the realism of like a professional level sports team and access to the field, and like, you know, it might be something to quite hard to produce, like, you know, if you're filming something 6 months a year. But yeah, I guess it's not that common, and yeah, I think I would enjoy more, much more than I enjoy watching actual sports. So yeah.
That is really interesting, Brittany, because I hadn't really thought about it, how most sports TV shows are, like Natalie said, like about, we got to win this game so that we all come together and work together and, you know, go team and win and feel good. And this is very like, we got to win this game because if we don't, we all lose our jobs. And, you know, I do feel like the business side is really interesting, and how it makes it like de-romanticizes some of the game, but mm-hmm. also I felt like also did add to like the hero legacy. Like, I really liked how Oscar, like when Mike was gonna hit his last game, like Oscar, he talks about like how it's a really nostalgic sport. So it is interesting to see like that there is all of this behind the scenes business, but then also the people like behind the scenes doing the business, a lot of them believe in that same, or want to believe in that.
The kind of, they believe in like the legend of it, and like I know what you mean, like the kind of, I don't know, like specialness, or like that it's not just a business to them. Like, they're trying to run it like a business, but you know, they're involved because the whole like legacy of it is like a big deal, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that makes me also think that, you know, football works really well in high school. I don't think that it would translate to a series like this. I think baseball was the perfect sport for a series like this. And maybe soccer, because I'm thinking of Bend It Like Beckham a lot. I don't know why. That's like the only soccer movie that's coming to my mind.
Oh, no, same. But as soon as someone mentioned that, I was like, oh, yeah, Bend It Like Beckham.
Yeah, so yeah. I feel like baseball was the perfect sport for a series like this. And also, I would enjoy more, even more baseball-like series. More pitch, obviously, but also more just series about sports that could align in a way that pitch did. So, because like, football works, it works in a high school level because I think that there's so much tied up in, like, you know, like the homecoming vibe, and, you know, it's like, it's still kids before, like, football's a very much uglier business as opposed to, like, there's a, like, as baseball, like Adriana was saying, you know, there's that old-timey, you know, connection and spirit, and the, you know, you can lose with your team, and there's so many games that there are more highs and lows. And I think that baseball was the perfect sport for a series like this, but I also kind of just want more series about sport that, again, are not set around who am I also going to take to the homecoming dance, which turns out to be a bigger deal than getting the touchdown, you know? that kind of drama.
Yeah. In the UK, I think it would be soccer. And in America, I can kind of imagine to an extent, like basketball and hockey both have a similar kind of, like a lot of games and like kind of a little bit more story-based team stuff, I guess, than football from my outside observation. Like people are pretty sentimental about hockey. But yeah, I think that baseball is like, yeah, I don't know, that there's something about it that is appealing even to me who doesn't watch the sports. Like the whole atmosphere and like they said, like it's like, you know, people are like, it's a sentimental game, it's a nostalgic game. Yeah, like the structure of it's kind of easy to follow. And I guess to film as well. Like it, you know, if you're filming football plays, it would not be like the same kind of action, like, you know, where you can like be insular. Like it's a relatively like slow game. Like it's not like a bunch of people running around, it's like people waiting to take a turn at something. So, you know, I think it worked really well as far as sports go. Obviously, you know, also you're not wearing a lot of armor, you can like, if to film a show, like you can see, you know, you're not wearing a helmet, you can see people's faces, you can, you know, yeah, I think it lends itself really well. So, yeah, I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been one before or since, like, about, yeah, serialized television. Like, it really is all, you know, the high school drama. And that's really all I can think of. I really can't think of anything that's about...
I was kind of just thinking about Spinning Out, which is like about competitive mm-hmm. figure skating, which was just on Netflix and didn't get renewed. But I really enjoyed that. And that had a good take on, you know, just a person who was competing in singles, moving into partners. And it was a very interesting look, excuse me, at, you know, figure skating, which I know nothing about beyond the Olympics. So, and I only get invested once every 4 years. But that was like another sport where I could see it being something that you could serialize, even though this particular one did not work out. Mm-hmm. So that could be another sport that I'm thinking of. But I really also liked, like, you know, cheer, like, but that, you know, there's an end, just like cheer showed us, like once you are done at a collegiate level, like there's nothing for you going forward. So, but that was like a documentary style series, but that was also very good.
I think it's interesting and something I've never really thought about, but media or whatever, I just don't think that people have an interest in how the sausage gets made and how, and like,
because it's just so ridiculous though, because it's like really all that I'm interested in usually, like, like the technicalities of something, like the, I don't know.
It just feels like perhaps they want to keep players and stuff in the game like still feeling like a commodity, or just feeling like a commodity rather than something for us to invest in. Or there's also like this feeling that for some things, like with sports especially, I think with business and investing, there also feels like a sort of separation from who can understand or who is sort of allowed to understand how that sausage is made. Like, I know nothing about investing. It's very intimidating to me, but I know that a lot of men know these things. And it's like, well, where do you learn that? Or how do you know all these things? Same with sports. Like some of my friends from early ages could tell me stats on specific baseball players, and that was never something that felt accessible to me. And so I think there's sort of like a guard around these sports sometimes. And I think one of the reasons why I enjoy pitch is that it lets that down, or it allows an avenue inside that's both digestible. Yes, we had to look up quite a bit, and we had a lot of people set us straight on some details, but like, it showed it to us in a way that was interesting, in a way that we could learn and really get a good insight. And it was all true to how it actually is. And I really appreciate about that about this show. And I don't think that's something that I appreciated the first time I saw this.
I think something we also have to remember that's unique to Pitch, and I think it's the only show ever to get this. Well, I know it's the only show to have a partnership with the MLB, but I'm pretty sure it's the only show to have a partnership with their corresponding sport at all. So they had a lot of access that other shows just wouldn't have, like just in terms of being able to make it realistic on a practical level, like with jerseys and stadiums. But then I'm sure that also gave them extra access to talk to the people behind the curtain.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing. I think it must be such a big undertaking, like, to actually pull it off. Like, it must be such a big undertaking. And, you know, that could be why the show didn't continue. Like, maybe they felt like the result, like, you know, what, you know, the ratings and, you know, the support of the show wasn't enough to make up for the amount of effort that had to be done and money. Like, you know, if a show is like easy and cheap to make, it's more likely to carry on with the same ratings as something that is expensive and difficult and tiresome to make. You know, if a show is easy to make, then it is got more chance to survive sometimes. And this is a lot that has to go into it being made. And so maybe, like, I don't know what their, you know, what was said about them being cancelled or what the ratings was exactly or how it would compare to, like, other shows on similar networks with similar ratings. But it's kind of like the, I guess the utilitarian view is, like, if this show cost X amount of money to make or had, like, this many logistics that were, like, five times more complicated than any other show that's being made, that means, like, its success rate would have to be, like, really, 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 really high for it to be worth continuing. And I guess it did not meet that.
Yeah, just a lot of moving parts that would be hard to try to invest in or make a case for. But they really pull it off in with the business and with the emotional side, which I think is interesting. What are some other highlights of this show for you? We've kind of talked about the business. Are there any highlights in terms of, like, characters and character arcs? I know we had a lot of overall feelings and crying happening throughout the series. So does anyone want to speak to that?
I think something they did a really good job with was the emotional journey of Jenny as a person, as, like, the responsibility of being the most famous woman in the world, essentially, like, at such a young age and how that would weigh down on you. I found, like, that was very interesting. The psychological and emotional journey they took her on, especially towards, like, leading up to, like, the dress incident and then afterward.
I think one thing they did well was being able to really throw a lot at you about why things mattered. Like, I like, for the characters and stuff like that. Like, yes, some of it was quite a lot, like, early on, but obviously we didn't get any more of it. So, it you know, it kind of felt like they were throwing a lot at you in order to make you quite invested quite fast, like context and, you know, prior context and backstory and all of that. And I would say that worked, like, in terms of creating the investment, even though in the long run, if you got, you know, six seasons of the show, you'd be like, oh my God, why did they throw so much? They could have stretched those things out so much. The point is, like, we didn't get that. And so the technique or the tactic of throwing a lot of context at you to make you invested in the characters pretty fast, I think that actually worked better than most shows I've seen. Like, most shows I've seen, I guess I like, sometimes it's kind of like, oh, you know, it takes a whole season to warm up or, like, even a couple of seasons. And I guess, you know, for others, you know, maybe other people get invested straight away. But I would say I don't generally get that invested in a show within the first 10 episodes of the first season ever. I usually, you know, start watching something that might have a few seasons already and kind of take a while to warm up. And this I really felt strongly about pretty fast. So I think they did a good job, like, making things matter, really selling, like, quite an emotional story pretty fast.
Obviously, Mike Lawson was a huge highlight for a lot of us. I thought they did.
Yeah.
They did a great job just with his, like, his character arc could have gone so much farther than we saw it, but, like, we really got a good idea of the things he was wrestling with and what might come in his future, like, as he does age out of being the catcher Mike Lawson and has to move on to the next thing. Like, I thought they did a good job of showing his journey with that, and I thought they did a really good job with the will they, won't they, kind of, like, are they just friends? Is it dad or daddy, Mike or Mike and Ginny? As much as we hate that, like, you really, yeah, like, didn't know until episode 9, like, where it, yeah, was going, and they just did such a good job, like, building the foundation between them that, like, you were kind of hooked no matter what. So that was definitely a highlight.
If we're shouting out characters, I also want to shout out Oscar, because, yeah, I did not nearly appreciate him as much as I should have the first go around, yeah, and I loved him this time around. I thought he was really well done.
Yeah, I actually really think there is a lot of there's a lot of rich characters. Like, I feel like they sat down and they knew from the start, or, you know, as they were writing the show, that there was a lot going on with a lot of these characters, that they had more to say with a lot of these characters, that they kind of knew a lot of stuff that they weren't telling us and slowly revealed and would have revealed more. Like, they didn't really need to, like, build up the characters from being one note. They kind of knew. Yeah, I feel like they knew from the start that they were, had a lot of inner life in the characters. And he was one of them that I would have really liked to see a lot more backstory of, and follow him into his past and his future. So, yeah. I mean, I kind of, obviously, Dan Fogelman went on to make This Is Us, which I haven't seen, but I am aware of the level of, like, character drama in that show, that it's like it's basically, you know, pretty much focused on present and past incidents as, like, the making of, like, what, I guess, what makes someone who they are today, and the drama of people's lives that build up who they are when you meet them. And there was something of that quality to these characters, even though it was, you know, more of a genre show, like, you know, with a focus outside of merely the character. It was very good character work. I feel like I had a lot to think about. You know, I understood, like, little things about the character from how they presented it. So I think just overall the quality of the character work was surprisingly good. For, well, maybe not surprisingly for others, but, like, kind of surprisingly for me.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, they did such a good job in the pilot of, you know, that opening, mm-hmm, was so powerful, of just that silence of, you know, getting to the, I mean, it wasn't silent, but, you know, Ginny didn't speak the entire, like, first 5 minutes of the series, but just that following her, I think that they really set the tone for how much pressure is on her shoulders without having to remind us every single episode of, you know, this is what you're standing for when you're standing on that mound. They did it in a way that was so visually striking that you never forgot it when, mm-hmm, you were watching episodes that didn't actually tell you that it was there. You just kind of remembered that those little girls, and, you know, just watching Ginny keep her head down and keep going. And it was, I think that was just one of the best pilots I've ever seen too.
I think the opening might be my favorite moment because I do get weirdly, yeah, emotional every time I watch it. But in terms of, like, moments that stick out, this isn't my favorite moment, but I do, her jumping in that pool with the red dress does, mm-hmm, it's like the moment that always sticks with me. Even 4 years later, that's what I think of when I think of the show. And she's not even doing baseball. But it's not my favorite moment. What are some of my favorite? I really love the their, like, nude photo shoot. That's really, mm-hmm, fun. Obviously, I love their almost kiss in episode 9.
I love the moment on Ginny's first road trip where she sits next to Mike on the bus. I really love that sequence.
I have, like, a very, like, weird favorite moment, and it's, like, right before everything kind of shifts. It's when Mike is sitting at the bar and he's like watching, I would think it was in the last episode where he's sitting at the bar and he's watching Ginny on TV. And then he goes to his wife's room. It's like that little moment when he's by himself, because what I realized when I was rewatching that scene is, you know, they're showing Ginny, like just Ginny's face. And she's like, you know, staring straight ahead. But Ginny is in that shot that's on the screen. She's looking at Mike because she's reading the calls. So like Mike is watching her watching him, which was like a very weird like meta moment in my mind, at least. I don't know if it was intentional.
So deep, Brittany.
I know. God, it's so early for this kind of thought. But like that moment was just like, and then he chose to like actively walk away from her looking at him, which was like very weird to me because I really thought that he was going to go to Ginny's room, which I was like kind of a little excited about, but then it didn't turn out that way. But I just thought that that was like such a great shot because, you know, they have that connection on the field and like she really at that moment was not focusing on anything but his like call.
So this isn't like rocket science level of like, oh my God, so amazing, clever TV. But I kind of, I appreciate, I'm like an impatient person and I like stories to be linear, I guess. And I really, just despite that, I'm the person that's like, why is this happening when like no one knows what's happening? And the point is you're meant to be waiting and like finding out the context of something. I'm really bad like that. But this show, I kind of enjoyed that quality and was happy to wait for it. Like, I guess a weird one is like when Oscar goes to hire Levan and we see him like asking, for example, like when he gets to Holland or wherever he was flying to, like, you know, I need a toy shop. And we're like, why the fuck does he need like a toy shop? Like what's going on? And then, you know, we see him, you know, in his bathroom, like cutting the hair off the doll. And like, are they just these kind of moments? And that's just the first one that springs to mind. There are many moments where you see someone acting and then the context for their actions is revealed. That sounds very basic and simple, but I'm really bad at that kind of I really generally need things to happen in order. Like I need to know that Oscar has the doll and know why he's cutting the hair off the doll before he does it. But obviously this show does not do that. And I really kind of liked the journeys that took me on. Like I'm not very smart and it really helped stretch my attention span a bit, I guess. I kind of liked the, you know, obviously there's a bigger examples of that with, you know, flashbacks and all of that. But I really liked the whole, something is happening, you don't know why, but you will learn. That sounds quite stupid. And I am like the worst when it comes to like watching a film or something. And I'm like, oh, why? I always just feel like I'm the only person that missed it, that like maybe I didn't hear something or didn't see something and everyone else knows except me. But this was a good exercise for me in waiting to see why something matters. And that's how the story is designed. So I really liked that quality of it. And that the moment of him going to hire Levan outside of Ginny was one of the most memorable moments that I had in the show, that scene where he goes to hire him.
I don't think that's stupid at all. I think that kind of storytelling a lot of times is used as a crutch, but I think it's utilized really well in this, where it's less about whether or not you figure it out beforehand and more about how well I think it all fits together.
Yes, it's natural. Yeah, that's the thing. It's not done as like a heavy-handed, like, you know, what is it that you've got to figure out? It's just something, you know, there is actually no reason for us to know why Oscar would be doing that. It's just natural. It's inside his head, you know, as this example. So, yeah, it definitely felt different to we're zooming in and we're wanting to like dun, dun, dun on like, what is this thing that you don't know? It just felt more natural, like in that people do things without explaining them all the time. And then we see the context, you know? So yeah, I really, really did like that quality of the show.
I really loved every time we got to see Ginny bond with one of her other teammates, like outside of Mike and Blip, who were kind of like more important connections, like when she started hanging out with Levon and like the guy that hated her when she first came. One of my favorite things about sports movies is like the camaraderie of it. And I think those moments like really showed that side of it the best and ended up being my favorites.
As a side note that only you guys would care about, did you guys know that Tommy was married to Naya Rivera?
I did, yeah.
No.
Yeah, Naya, yeah, Ryan Dorsey was her ex-husband. They've split up now.
I see it now. And now I get why he looks so familiar.
He really, I mean, that hair that they gave him was like a weird like look that's not like how he has usually looked. But yes, I did know that. What a weird time.
All right. Any parts of this show that could have used a little bit more time? I was kind of looking up why the show was canceled, and part of it was its time slot. It was running against Thursday Night Football.
It was also running against the actual World Series.
Yeah. So those are two huge things for people in terms of TV. So there was no way that this show was ever going to beat that. So I think it's less that it was not a well-written or a well-produced show. Mm-hmm. It was more of like there was a lot of competition. But if there were things, were there any particular parts of the show that perhaps could have used a bit of improvement for you or that didn't quite hit for you as much?
Sometimes I thought the continuity could have been better. Like I found often like that her ex-boyfriend like would come up in one episode and then we never heard of him again. Mm. Or like her brother came up in the beginning and then like when he came back seemed to be kind of a different person, like was given really different vibes. So sometimes like episode to episode, some things didn't carry super well. Like the main plot points and like the main characters all flowed well, but some of the extra stuff was kind of not continuous.
It's kind of hard to judge because we really didn't get very much of it. Like there are definitely, you know, either, you know, characters I didn't like or qualities that could have been different, but I feel like it's not a fair judgment because that wasn't sort of the expected end, you know, like I guess that's like, you know, you might not like X quality or you might think like, you know, this character is too much or like just, yeah, just, I don't know how much of it was like, not even growing pains, but like intentional, like you don't know everything about this person yet, or they're meant to be unlikable now or something like that. Like, I don't know if that would be like a specific character or I guess like info dumps, like, you know, I've just said that I sort of like the way that they did deliver things, but when we were doing the show, we talked about like the amount of like flashbacks that they did and like reveals of like, a, you know, why something mattered in today's story and like the amount of those, like whether that would have been something that the show like sustained and made a feature or whether it was just kind of throwing a lot of stuff at the wall early on. So yeah, it felt like they packed a lot in. And that in and of itself is like, I quite like things to be like slow and drawn out. But if they hadn't packed a lot in, we wouldn't have all of that context for everything that we know that made us care about the show and want more. So it's kind of a hard thing to judge. I think in the long term, if I watched this, if this show had been successful and then I started watching it, I would have been like, wow, they packed a lot in. Like that's too rushed, slow down in their first, you know, run of series, first run of the series. But I get why they did it if they didn't know what they had and they wanted to, like, make an impact and create investment fast. So sort of a double-edged sword, I guess, that kind of – that quality of, I guess, yeah, that structure of the flashbacks and the amount of information thrown at us early on.
My biggest like low point is so nitpicky, but it's any time that they showed like the zoomed in baseball going from someone's glove to another, like to a pitch, I hated it. Hated it. It took me like right out of the story. I was like, you don't need this. Don't waste the CGI budget on this. So that was just my minor nitpicky thing.
Totally thought you were going to say the mini fridge.
The mini fridge, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're going to create a despicable villain. Give him a mini fridge that can only hold one bottle of water. So that's actually a high point because they really built that villain up with that mini fridge. So.
I think my low point that I did not bother me at all 4 years ago, but now that we've been talking about it, you guys pointed out, is that I do wish Amelia was better at her job.
Yeah.
Because like 4 years ago, I just assumed that she was really good at her job because they told us she was really good. But then you guys pointed out that she really like did not do very many, like she made a lot of wrong choices because she's just not a sports agent. So
yeah, she
that
really
bugged me this time around.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. Like, I don't know if that was just like the beginning of her arc, you know, like she was meant to have like a, you know, growing pains. Like if we were meant to think that she was bad or not, I guess that was one of the biggest confusions for me, is what the show wanted us to think of Amelia, like of a couple of characters, but particularly of Amelia. Is did the show want us to think that like she was bad at her job? Were we meant to be thinking that what she was doing was right or wrong? So that would be like one of the biggest things for me. And you know, it could have been that she was meant to be wrong and, you know, never got to develop past that, or it could be that they thought that this was actually good. Like usually I can kind of, I guess, tell what the story wants you to think about someone's actions. Like obviously you cannot make a character do perfect actions all the time, but you kind of know generally whether the show is making a character act in a way that is, you know, even if they're not a villain, like a character, a lead character, when their behavior is, you know, good or bad, or, you know, an endorsement of well-balanced behavior or a sign that they are doing something out of line. I feel like Amelia, I don't know what they wanted us to think about her, and that it would be my biggest sort of character gripe.
Yeah, I would echo that, because I even felt this time around going back and forth on her, but not because of anything that she did, but just because of the way that she was being framed every time.
I guess that sort of also goes for her, like, romance with Mike. Like, why did it happen? And, like, were we meant to support it or were we meant to not support it? Like, I guess, like, again, like, to fit that kind of whole, like, yep, we hooked up and now we're done, like, within the context of, like, you know, five episodes in the middle of the first 10 is kind of a lot, and I'm not sure whether we were meant to support it or not. So, I mean, I guess people are free to think what they want, but like whether the show was narratively being like, this is a train wreck or this is good and they don't know what they're missing, you know, that kind of thing.
Any other low points, or kind of flipping it and looking forward, was there anything that could have been, that you would have liked to have seen fleshed out or perhaps improved over a longer period of time, in addition to Amelia? Like, what would a potential season 2 or beyond look like?
I would have loved a deeper dive into Blip and Mike's like budding heads, you know, like we're just at like the like the precipice of them like really diving into like what they're feeling towards each other and their positions on the team and who's feeling betrayed and also overwhelmed, not only at home, but on the field and in the organization. And I think that that was just like really ripe for exploration. So I wanted to see a little bit of more of that. And especially, you know, just kind of more of the fallout of Mike being back on the team, obviously in addition to what happens with Ginny, but also like just that dynamic, I think really would have been great to flesh out a lot more.
I feel like we were due a Blip and Evelyn flashback, and I'm sad that we'd never got that because I think that would have been fun. In terms of like a season 2, I'm sad we didn't get to see Ginny with like the other rookies when they got to come in. I'm sad
Like, I would have really enjoyed also after she got her, I'm assuming she would be like on disability, like Naya's husband was for a while. And I feel like that would have been interesting to see her be like frustrated that she can't play, but still having to like be at practice and be in all the locker rooms, but just like sitting there. I think it would be really interesting to see when she stopped being like the shiny thing and became like just like everyone else disposable, to see what that would be like when she had to actually like worry about being traded and stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, like whether she would become like fair game, whether they would try and get her on some sort of special treatment, like, you know, she, no, we want to keep her our shiny thing, or whether like her value would become equal to other players. I feel like I was keen for more of her and Levan's partnership, and maybe like Mike being jealous of their bond, you know, pitching, catching vibe. And yeah, I guess like more flashbacks. Like, I think I wanted an Oscar one, like to when he was a player, and probably Al as well. Like a period drama flashback for Al, like back to, you know, whenever he was competing in the 70s or, you know, whatever time that he was coming up. I just feel like, I don't know what context that could have given that was important, but I would have enjoyed it.
I would have loved that. Or like an episode. I love episodes of TV where they do a whole episode from the viewpoint of a character that's like a secondary character or something that you haven't really seen. And so I think an episode from the viewpoint of Al all the way through would be really interesting.
I think a great flashback for Al that would have tied in nicely, maybe in like a season 3 or 4, would be, you know, because he was a catcher and he keeps telling Mike, you know, like, I know where you're at and it's going to be hard. So like Al's last game or decision to leave would be a really good flashback to tie in to like Mike's present day, either decision to retire or forced retirement again, like, you know, just pushing him out because he really can't play anymore and it's too painful.
Daniel, when you talked last week about like a pitching coach, what do the pitching coaches do? Sorry, I was just thinking.
Yeah.
Because after you said that, I was like, oh, I feel like maybe they don't. Yeah, because I thought, oh, maybe they don't have one because that would be a good job for Mike when he retires to be their pitching coach.
You know, I was thinking about that.
Isn't Buck the pitching coach?
I don't think so.
I think he's just the secondary, like, to IC coach. I don't know. I feel like they have not mentioned a specific pitching coach, and I know that the role of a specific pitching coach should exist for, like, to train that team specifically and, you know, work on the different things and, you know, make up the new calls and all that. Maybe Mike is his own pitcher. Maybe he's, like, so good that he acts as that for the team while he's a catcher, but I don't think so.
Well, I think the addition of a pitching coach would be really interesting here in that Ginny knows what she's good at, and a lot of times we've seen her struggle to take critique or suggestions from others in terms of specifically baseball. Like, she has butt heads with Mike before, even when she respects his judgment on things. And so I think the addition of a pitching coach kind of trying to perhaps get her away from her signature pitch and build up other pitches, or like slightly perhaps change the way she does something. I mean, a small anecdote, when I was in high school, I played softball, and one day during practice, they had us completely break down our throws. And I was good before. I could throw a ball from deep center field and hit home plate. But after we broke it down, I lost it and it became a mental block. And so I think there's something there that could have been explored with the addition of a pitching coach, and perhaps like the pitching coach messes something up for Ginny and how to work through that. Because sports, while physical for sure, is also very much a mental game that we've kind of seen I don't know, previews of throughout the season. So I think, Ariana, to your point, I think that would have been interesting to bring them up.
What about the flashbacks? Was there any of those, the way we kind of learn information about someone from the past that feels like unresolved, like, you know, something more with the mother or, you know, we had a lot of one and done, like, you know, Trevor in the episode, like with the ex-boyfriend, like, you know, they're going to play that team again. Like, would he show up again? Or like the blonde kid whose dad killed her dad. Like, yeah. I'd kind of like to see, we got a lot of like, this is a big deal, but they did not like become a character. And I feel like I would like to have those flashbacks be less isolated incident and more like these people will come up again. You know, maybe Ginny will drive with Mike and pass his dad's house. I don't know, like, you know, something. Yeah, something significant. I feel like, you know, we saw a lot of like, oh, here's this person's sob story, which is all well and good, but those things do not actually exist in a bubble, and I would like to see them come back more. And that, you know, maybe was the plan. Again, we were in the first 10 episodes. We had some context, and maybe they would have returned, you know, and become more fully a part of it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely would have liked to see more of her family. And I think her mother and brother definitely would have come up. It would have been interesting to see, like, maybe if Amelia came back, Ginny standing up to Amelia and, like, learning to navigate that relationship, like, might have paralleled her trying to figure things out with her mother and, like, how those relationships would have connected. Those would have come up for sure. I don't really care about the blonde kid, honestly. But her father couldn't have gone away. Like, I think there's still some stuff in her past with, like, how her father raised her to be. Like, that would have kept coming up for sure. Like, that's definitely not dealt with.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. They made it such a big deal and then kind of, you know, reveal, and then we didn't really do much more with him. But it's not like that just, yeah, went away, as you say.
Just thinking in the long term for the show, like, I would have just wanted to see Ginny grow up and, like, see, like, what kind of different stories and, like, implications that would have. Like, if she does want to, like, navigate a serious relationship with, like, someone on or off the team, or, like, if eventually she wanted to have kids, like, no matter how accepted she is in the league, like, she still is a woman in a man's world. And I think the older she gets, like, the more complicated that might get, like, as she has to make more serious choices and her whole life doesn't revolve around baseball. I think that would have been really interesting.
Or to that point in her growing up, her becoming political, or her becoming perhaps an activist, and how that would figure into everything else that has been kind of going on. Because again, this show was running during an election year. And so what would Trump's presidency or the current election, whatever, everything that's going on, what would that have looked like for Ginny? How would she have responded, and how would she have grown during that time? This is not quite as deep perhaps, but one of the other things would be a fast follow from this series finale. And that's just how the rest of this particular baseball season goes for the Padres. So whether or not they do end up getting the wild card, or, I mean, regardless of everything, the Chicago Cubs won the World Series that year. And as much as I absolutely hate seeing or being reminded of that, because it's still happening 4 years later, I would love to see how Mike would react to that, because that
would have been the team. Yeah.
That would have been his team.
Yeah.
And I think that would be really interesting to me.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, you know, like, how closely could they follow, like, real baseball? And I don't know, like, there's just a lot, like, you know, the scope of, like what you said, the scope of, like, activism in professional sports over the past, you know, 4 years has obviously been, like, a big deal. And, like, whether the show would have kept itself, like, tied to current events, like, in the actual world of sports or in the world of politics, you know, any of that, like, whether it would have become, like, an issues show in that way. Obviously, in the very first episode, in the pilot, you know, we see the message from Hillary Clinton and stuff, like, you know, so I don't know, like, it could have been, I don't know, an alternate universe where Hillary Clinton won, or I don't know, it would be a really big question about whether it was meant to be like contemporary and keeping up with what was actually going on, and whether that would have been like viable, or if they would have just sort of gone on their own path and just made up their own stuff. Yeah, it would have been interesting. I really don't know though. You know, clearly the show was kind of, I guess, you know, they got access at the right moment for them, but like in the world, I feel like, you know, it was the wrong time. And I'm really curious how it would have gone down if it had started like 1 or 2 years ago rather than in 2016, like if it would have hit more people, or, you know, whether it would have got the same chances.
And also, depending, this is a question I'm curious about, depending on what the content of the show would be, whether it would be true to real life, whether it would kind of live in its own bubble, what, and in terms of Ginny's journey as well, what would be the ideal run of this show for you guys? Would it be like 5 seasons, which I think is relatively standard for shows like this? Off the top of my head, like, that's what the plan was, I believe, for Supernatural originally. Or would this be like a NCIS where it's running however long? What would, in your minds, what would be the perfect balance of episode count for this show?
I don't know how long it would take, but I would want the show to run until Mike's retirement. And whether that's, like, I don't know whether the show is trying to make out to us that he has, like, you know, 2 years or 5 years, or, like, you know, what he's got in him. But I would want the show to end with his retirement and them getting together after he retired. Like, her still on the team and him no longer on the team and them being together. So 3 to 5 seasons, maybe? Also, okay. You know, it could be that one season takes up less than 1 year of baseball playing. Like, I don't know, like, there could be a whole, you know, half a season at spring training or something like that. So I don't know how they'd pace it out, but I would want it to end, I think, at that point.
I feel like I'd be just as interested in seeing some of Mike post-retirement. Like,
I definitely would too, yeah, for sure. But
like, that would be so interesting to navigate, like, how he transitions from, like, being the, like, Mike Lawson, like, the legend Mike Lawson, to, like, whatever comes next. Like, I feel like that's an interesting story. And, like, regardless of number of seasons, I just want to see Ginny get old enough that, like, something changes, that, like, she's dealing with different stuff. Mm-hmm. Than she is at 23 or however old she is now.
I think they actually, I totally agree with Kendra, and I feel like they would need a time jump.
Oh, yeah, okay. That could be cool.
I mean, I'm very pro, like, 5 to 7 seasons, but yeah. I'd like a time jump somewhere to see, like, I do want to see when Ginny is, like, has her own rookies that she's having to
Would you want the show to last to the inclusion of the next girl? Possibly, yeah. Not on this team. Maybe that would be like a cool ending point, like where Ginny's no longer the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that or beyond that, because I feel like in those cases, they would immediately pit the two women against each other. And I think that would be an interesting storyline to go through.
Unless they got to a point where, like, you know, she was the only one for a few years and then, like, a bunch, like, they decided to, like, open it up to be, like, yeah, like, a you know, like, say 5 or 7 or 10 teams ended up taking a female rookie.
And they have, like, they have their own group chat that they can, you know, get support from. And she's like, geez, I never had any of this.
Yeah.
I know I already mentioned it last week, but, like, I would like to see when she's 35 and Actually, I know I said I'd like to see her playing while pregnant, but I actually don't think they would probably let her because it's a little bit harder than volleyball or tennis.
Can you imagine a line drive to the stomach on the pitch?
I know.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Would not. Never mind.
When I was editing last week's episode, I was like, oh, no. She can't play rugby.
A little bit different than tennis.
I was thinking about, because my softball jersey has this, like, dirt stain that I can't get out from, like, my work league right on the stomach because I, like, did – we were just, like – I missed a catch. Like, it didn't even hurt. Like, someone threw the ball to me, and it, like, hit my stomach, and I was like, oh, that kind of hurt. And then – but that, like – dot, it just won't go away, and I'm like, that was a softball missed catch, like, to the stomach. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. She's in a rough spot. I do think I would like a time jump, especially as soon as, like, season two came back. Like, I would like to just pick up at spring training. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Ginny's rehabbing, the team is, like, coming back together, we get, like, you know, sort of like a little bit of an info dump of what happened at the end of last season. And then kind of like the fallout of, like, you know, coming back to the team for the first time since, you know, if they did keep with reality, the Cubs winning and what Mike dealt with, like, you know, real with that realization. But I would also like to see, I think Mike's retirement would be like a really great emotional beat for many people, in, like, on the team and just him himself. So I would like to get to that point. I would also really like to, in addition to more female players in the league, have like an exploration of, you know, maybe there's at some point in Ginny's career, like, there are more female players, let's say, you know, in the minors at that point before they come up to the majors, but also maybe some sort of like women in sports round table that Ginny like gets to partake on, and there's more female coaches throughout the league. Like, maybe there's, you know, some sort of bigger role for them, you know, just getting involved, whether it's behind the scenes, like, you know, executives, and then also coaches, or, you know, rehab people, like, you know, physical therapists and stuff. Like, she's like on some sort of panel, and there's more of a call to, like, you know, all the roles that women play in sports, and not just, yes, she's on the field, but, you know, just opening up that conversation, I think would be an interesting, even for one episode, an interesting little look at the world of, you know, all the roles that women play in sport, not just on the field.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, I think that would be really powerful, especially since like female coaches now is very much a big deal. We haven't gotten to players on the field, but I would be interested to see them actually doing things, or more female executives, not just ones that open their wallets.
What about I'm not sure about the Major League Baseball. How does baseball work for the Olympics? Because I know Olympics is meant to be like amateur sport. I've seen baseball at the Olympics. Does that mean that people who play for professional teams can't play? Because that's not how it works for like soccer. Like, David Beckham was on the British Olympic team. So like, how does that work with Olympic athletes competing, like, you know, if they were making the American baseball team for the Olympics?
That's a great question. I have to look into it, but I would imagine that they wouldn't be able to play because of how demanding and long their season is.
I feel like we would have heard about them if they play, because I know like basketball does go play because it was like a big deal. Like, ooh, Kobe and like LeBron on the same team.
Yeah. That's kind of what has always confused me, that, you know, like, Olympics is meant to be like the best in like amateur sport, but like obviously tennis, you know, people can play professional tennis and have sponsorships and also play in the Olympics as a solo, you know, like, person. It's not like a whole different like field of sports. And soccer, you know, yeah, there were definitely people on the official, you know, Australian team or British team or whatever that are also in, you know, competitive sport that you see, you know, on television. And baseball, I don't know. Like, it's a bit of a wild card. So
if
that's possible, she could be involved there maybe.
So I just looked it up, and there's actually a rule where MLB players cannot be on, or are not allowed to participate in the Olympics And I think part of that is because the Major League Baseball would have to shut down for part of the season because the Olympics would be, I think, for baseball are in the summer. And that's their season. So the MLB would probably have to shut down.
Yeah, but why isn't it the same with basketball? Like, it doesn't, like, I know they're all different, but it's...
I think it's off-season for basketball.
Maybe. I thought it had to do with, like, the level of, like, you can't play if you're, a professional. Like, you can only play if you're, like, not paid as a professional, but it's very confusing. Anyway, yeah, that was just a
season thing.
Yeah, that was just a thought.
Basketball's not...
Yeah.
I mean... They're close, but then it's not like, you know, they have to cancel games or anything. But baseball, it takes, you would have to put a hold on it.
Mm. Of course, now that baseball has been shut down for a while, maybe that might get re-examined and they might have a better answer for it. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But yeah, as of right now, it's a rule that they cannot. So we talked about things that we liked. We talked about things that maybe need an improvement and just what our headcanon would look like moving forward. Are there any other overall thoughts on this show? Are you happy we did it? Was it one that is like rewatchable worthy for you? Would you go back and rewatch it? I mean, we all know Ariana would. Because she does.
I mean, I think so. I'm glad that I finally watched it. Mm-hmm. I know that it was always one that, I mean, there's a ton of these shows that are like, oh, I'll get to it. And then 4 years have gone by and I didn't watch it. So I was glad that I was able to watch it. I think that it ended in a very bad place, more so mm-hmm. than most of the shows that we've been watching.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm happy I watched it and it made me want to see more shows like it.
I don't know if I'd watch it again, not because I didn't like it, but probably because I did, and it ends in an unsatisfactory place. Like, I feel like it's a massive waste of potential, and I just feel like it would be frustrating to get here all over again.
I really liked it. It probably was my favorite show that I've done on Rewatchable, including Veronica Mars season 4.
Wow. I mean, that part I understand, but
yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I
tell
really
us more.
Liked it. And I think I would like, it's just such a good vibe other than the ending. Like, I definitely agree with Natalie that was pretty abysmal, but the whole show, like, one thing we didn't mention in the highlights was like the music was so good. Mm-hmm. Like, it just had such like a good tone to it. And like, there's so many cute and funny moments. Like, I really liked so many of the characters. So I would definitely be down to rewatch it.
I'd certainly be like pushing it on other people, being like, you should watch this show and be annoyed when it ends and tell them to make more. Like, I'd certainly tell others. I'd recommend it highly, I think.
Something that I think really works about is its rewatch value is that I feel like I find something new every time because there's just so much going on. But also, I don't know anything about baseball, so I have a lot to learn. But I do feel like I get something new out of it each time I watch it.
Mm.
Yeah, I enjoy the show. I loved it when it first came out, and I think it was really interesting to revisit it kind of 4 years removed from who I was back then. I am not sure that I would rewatch it again. I kind of feel satisfied with what I got out of it, but I would definitely watch it if it came back.
100%.
What the future would have.
Yeah, 100% if it came back. Yes, absolutely.
I will say, I feel like it was like a different perspective watching it now 4 years later. And the ending doesn't make me nearly as sad as it did the first mm-hmm. time. I've made my peace with it, but also I just feel like we're in a very different place. Like, I feel like in 2016, when it started in September, we were in a very like optimistic place mm-hmm. as a country. Mm-hmm. And we felt we're like, oh, things are good and they're going to get better. And now we're very like, oh, were things ever really good? And they're just steadily declining and getting worse all the time. So I do feel like this show was written in a more optimistic time. And I feel like a lot of I feel like some things would be different about it if it were to take place in 2020 with Ginny. But I've also, maybe because things are so bad, like I've really made my peace with the ending in that I can see beyond it.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. I think I could, like, I can see the end and I don't feel totally screwed over. Like, I feel like, you know, you could imagine a future beyond that. And so I guess you can just, you know, live in your head with it and enjoy it, you know, for what it is, and then sort of imagine what happens next. It's not like they've set fire to everything that you love and it, it's closed all of the doors for you to imagine a future beyond it. So unlike, apparently, Veronica Mars. Yeah, so I kind of appreciate that. I appreciate that it's like a stopping point that was clearly not meant to be the ending, and there was clearly meant to be more where you could imagine more in the future and, you know, maybe go and read some fan fiction or, you know, just, yeah, theorize what might happen next in a way that's not like everything is ruined and there's no way to move forward.
Yeah, I like that. All right, so before we kind of pivot to what's next, Ariana, you had a note in this doc about the inspiration of the series. And I am not sure that, I'm not sure it's a reminder in that. I don't know if I've heard this before. Would you please like to take us through it?
Yes. So I briefly mentioned it in the first episode, but I didn't do any research whatsoever. I was like, oh yeah, that little girl who played in the World Series game. Yes, her name was Monet Davis, and she was a lot of firsts. She was 13, and she became famous when she was the first girl to pitch shutout game in the 2014 Little League World Series. She was also the first African-American girl to play in the World Series, the fourth American girl, and the 18th overall, out of almost 9,000 players since 1947. Yet her shutout game got a lot of press coverage, and then she was on like the cover of Sports Illustrated and a bunch of stuff. But I was like, oh, I wonder where she is now, because she was the inspiration for Pitch. And I was a little bummed out, but I'm glad that she seems to have like a level head on her shoulders and parents who were also more level-headed than Ginny's. She's a freshman at Hampton University, and she plays softball now, not baseball. So when she played baseball, her pitch at 13 whip was 70 miles an hour, which sounds good to me for a 13-year-old girl. But she no longer pitches, because when she went to high school, she switched over to softball because that's what she could play. And she said pitching and softball was a lot different than pitching in baseball. So now she's an outfielder. And she's studying journalism. She's a freshman. And so she seems like she's in a nice, happy place, and I'm glad for her. But it did make me sad that she has this like great gift that now she no longer can use because it's different balls.
Yeah, that is really sad. I know high school sports don't like to make any exceptions to their, like, this is men's sports and this is women's sports. And softball is so much different. The ball's bigger. It's underhand versus overhand. So that is sad. But I'm glad that she's still able to play, and I'm glad that she seems to be doing well. And I appreciate the research that you did, Ariana. All right. Well, speaking of other women in baseball, talking about pitch has kind of got our panel here thinking a lot about a certain movie, and that movie is A League of Their Own. It's kind of hard not to make a connection from this show to that movie. And so while we don't cover movies very often, we do a movie every once in a while. And so we would like to rewatch and discuss A League of Their Own. If you haven't seen it before, we think you're in for a treat. If you have, I hope you will join us in rewatching it. Essentially, the premise of it is in the 1940s, during wartime, when men went away to war, the United States still wanted to have some sort of baseball happening. But with all the men gone, there were no teams. And so they started the All-American Girl Ball Players League, I believe is what the official name of it was. And so this movie is all about their experience, both in terms of sexism that they experienced while on the job, any sort of ceilings that they may have hit, but also their relationships to one another and just how good they were. Off the top of my head, the movie stars Tom Hanks, Gina Davis, Rosie O'Donnell's in there, Madonna is in there. It's just a, in my opinion, a really solid movie, and we are excited to be covering that. Our episode on it may not come next week. We're still trying to figure out the timing of it. But know that that is what we will be doing on the very next episode of Rewatchable. And at that point, because we haven't decided quite yet, when we do that episode on A League of Their Own, we will also let you know what show we will be covering after that and what that next round will look like. So basically, we will be doing League of Their Own, and stay tuned for any other future updates. They are coming. They just aren't nailed down.
Has anyone here not seen League of Their Own on the podcast?
I have not.
Okay.
I haven't seen it all the way through. I've seen like little clips of it.
Okay. Should be interesting.
Oh, that'd be interesting to have a mix of people on there then.
It's probably one of my top 10 favorite films of all time.
It's very good.
It is very good.
At a Comic-Con, Natalie got me a Rockford Peaches poster of Gina Davis's character, and I have it in my apartment.
I love seeing cosplays of like the Rockford Peaches.
Their uniforms are so great.
They're so impractical, but they're so great. And then when people take that style of uniform and like put it to other properties, like Marvel and stuff, oh, it's so cool. Well, I am even more excited than to be talking about this with you guys next time. Before we kind of look forward, I would like to get any sort of feedback from our listeners. We just finished a show that we all really, really enjoyed. And so we would like to hear from you. Did you enjoy Pitch? What parts were highlights for you? What could you see happening for Ginny and the team in the future? So please, please let us know your thoughts. You can get in contact with us through a few avenues. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at re_watchable. You can come in our Facebook group, pose questions or opinions, memes, photos, anything you want. We are on Facebook at Rewatchables Rewinders. Again, usually that place is spoiler free, but since we just went through all of Pitch, everything is fair game. So please come join us. Again, that's Rewatchables Rewinders. And if you have a second after doing all of those contact avenues, if you could rate us 5 stars on iTunes and maybe even leave a review, that would be really helpful. We would greatly appreciate it. And it would help get our podcast in front of a bunch of other people. Our incentive for this week, if you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, then Karen will write basically a complete outline of what the next season of Pitch would maybe look like, given all of the plot lines from season one. And in case you don't know it, Karen's a pretty good writer. And so I think she could do a good job with that. And obviously, she's always down for input. So you can give her input on what you would like to see, and then she could kind of sketch it out. That's all I got. I don't know. Hopefully that's a good incentive.
I like it. Karen writing fan fiction. I'm right? Down for it.
So down for it. Okay, we have a few pieces of feedback that we weren't able to get to the last couple weeks, and so we'd like to address it now. Ariana, would you like to get this tweet, please?
This is from Kevin Brown, from Kevin's Corner. I haven't read this yet, so we'll see. I am with Ariana. The whole ep is about Ginny empowering herself. She doesn't have an overbearing agent to tell her what's what. She doesn't need a captain to motivate her. She doesn't need a man to make her life complete. She's all the way over letting others make her life choices. It's infuriating that they undercut all of that with the old cliche of fragile women not being able to compete with the big, strong men without getting hurt. I don't think it was a cliche.
I mean, it might have been a cliche, but I don't think it was like, oh, she can't compete because she's a girl. We've seen other people get hurt. I think it was a, ooh, we want to get picked up. So tune in next time. Otherwise, this all ends terribly. I really feel like it was a, let's try and get picked up, Hail Mary thing and they also, did.
Perhaps also, a like, shortcoming on the behalf of just the MLB in general, because they aren't taking women's bodies into consideration.
Very good point. Also, it's the first season, so I feel like they didn't want her to have her this huge win of pitching like a historic shutout game in the first season, in the first 10 episodes. But I'm guessing it was inspired by Monet Davis's, since that's what the show's inspired by. In real life, she did not get hurt.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. In real life, she did not get hurt. Thank you for reading that. And thank you, Kevin, for your feedback. Let me see. So we had a couple of emails come through as well. They were really well thought out emails, and we pared them down just a little bit to make them a little bit more digestible on air. Natalie, would you like to get this first email, please?
Yeah, so this one's from Kfir Steitel, and it is pretty much just their opinions on Mike and Jenny, and some of the main points making, we're just saying, you know, hey guys, long time listener here, and we love discovering new shows with you. I'll admit I'm not the biggest fan of Pitch, and it's mostly because the show is not exploring what I want it to explore with the characters. Showed us a lot of weird and problematic things with Mike and Jenny's relationship. Let's start with the fact that it's one of the stupidest things to get into a relationship with someone who you work with publicly on a baseball team. Another point is the fact that second thing that really bothers them is that Jenny practically worshipped Mike growing up. Another thing is that we had such a focus on how Mike feels about his ex, and now he's close to retiring. He really wants to settle down, and I don't know if he's getting closer to Jenny because he feels safe and understood or because he's projecting feelings towards his ex. I also just wanted to add the fact that it feels to me this relationship is one other in the endless stream of the male and female protagonists of the show obviously get together, because we can't get a nice friendship between a straight man and a straight woman. Anyway, love you guys. Keep up the good work. Now, I don't disagree with like any of these points theoretically, personally. Like I still, and again, I think it's just a lot shoved into a short period of time that we didn't really get like any more exploration with. There are some points here that I can agree with in terms of like the ex-wife, like they definitely kind of, we didn't really have a reason to doubt his feelings about his ex-wife during the season. We had this whole like, you know, is she the new girl, young girl that makes you feel cool, or the old familiar handbag, you know, like the old slippers broken in. I don't know. But yeah, they definitely felt like earlier in the season they were trying to make Mike's feelings about Rachel pretty serious. And obviously we know that they can't be together when they're on the same team, and we obviously know about the hero worship. I feel like both of those things are valid, but that their relationship would have been like a long game getting past those things, Mike and Jenny, that is. I also love male and female friendships as well, and could have been happy with that going that way as well. So I'm not sure.
I feel like we addressed a lot of this last week, and Kendra talked about how, about Jenny's like hero worship, and mm-hmm. how, at least, I mean, I don't want to speak for Kendra. She spoke for herself last week, but at least I feel like they both compartmentalize. I feel like she's not that she's like over it. I feel like she still like sees, I don't know. It's so hard to explain.
Yeah.
I feel like, how can I explain this? I feel like she sees him, like she does like admire him, but I also feel like she has a very like realistic.
It's kind of actually a difficult thing to describe unless you've been in a somewhat similar circumstance. Sometimes when you meet someone and form a relationship with them, and there's someone that you knew about before you knew them, like you knew about them as a persona before you knew them, that persona doesn't go away. It doesn't, like, one doesn't erase the other. Like she would always still have been inspired by and a fan of Mike Lawson, but it actually kind of doesn't necessarily mean that, like, how she relates to, like, her friend Mike is, like, in any way related to that. I know that sounds kind of weird, but
it doesn't. You're making sense to me.
I know, like to put it bluntly, like, I'm friends with a couple of people who are famous and who were, I knew as them being famous before I knew them as friends. Their role as the person that they are being famous for is not massively connected to my relationship with them, even if I was a fan of their work. And Ariana has worked with people I feel like she would feel similarly about. And I think that it's just something that kind of happens that you just, there can be a level of detachment. And, you know, for people who are not just a fan, like for people who are coming in and they're meeting them in a working environment, you know, some level of equality, you know, like, you know, especially like a teammate. Yes, who they are is always going to be like a big deal. And what it gave to you as a young, you know, whatever part of you was a fan of them. But the relationship dynamic is not like you sit around being, well, you know, probably different for everyone, like being awestruck by them forever. Like it becomes not that difficult to kind of value that part of them quite separately to the human being that you are dealing with. It's not that weird. And I feel like, you know, there have got to be like so many actors that like know each other, like that they admired each other from afar and then work together on something and become friends or in a relationship, you know, like I feel like it's not that uncommon for people who enter the public eye to have been a fan of someone else in their industry and then meet them. Like, I'm sure that's just a thing that happens.
And also, I mean, I understand why it's a really bad idea for her to get in a relationship with anyone because she's in a unique situation with anyone on her team.
Yeah. But
for regular life, most people find their spouse at work. And if this was truly a co-ed team, then it would not be weird for them to be in many relationships.
Yeah, probably. You know, we haven't really explored like the massive, like we have not explored the level of hero worship that we're, you know, is allegedly there. Like we haven't been like, oh my God, I prayed to him every night. You know, it's not like, you know, she was a fan, you know, he was a player and she was a favorite, you know, he was a favorite player of hers. And yeah, she was a bit like cute about him when she realized she got to play with him, but like got over it pretty fast. That I don't feel like even where we're at in the season that hero worship is still there. The friendship is there and the admiration for his career is there, but it's not like she's in awe of him or isn't willing to speak her mind to him. Like, you know, like what are the downsides of admiring someone? It's like you might, you know, not act like yourself. You might feel free to like say what you actually think. You might feel like they could do no wrong no matter what. And we've seen them argue plenty of times. Like, it's not like she's like intimidated by him or flustered by him in that way. I get why it's kind of like a thing that people feel weird about, but I think that in reality, it's not as bad as people might think.
For sure. And perhaps more episodes would have helped with that as well.
Yeah. Obviously, doing it on the team while on the team, like, was a major plot point of their almost kiss, like, that's not going to happen, that it sort of, you know, things came over feeling funny when they thought they weren't bound by that. I really like male and female friendships, and I think the show has the potential for tons of them. And yes, Ginny and Mike could have been one and I would have been happy with that, but they could also not be that. But I feel like there's tons of people we could have had cool friendships with, like wingman type, like her and Levan.
Yes.
You know, would have been a cool, they're both heterosexual and, you know, single and they could have been each other's bros. Could have been funny. Because I know what you mean. There is a difference between like Blip, who is like not, yes, they're both straight and they are platonic friends, but, you know, he was already in a relationship. I understand the value of a friendship of two potentially single people who could get together, just not going that way. I do like those relationships, but yeah. And that was not what Blip was. Blip was not in that zone.
Technically, neither was Levon, as pointed out actually by Kafir. I guess he has a girlfriend.
Well, yeah, I guess he had a girlfriend that it seemed to be that, like, he was still loyal to the memory of her, but they weren't actually together. I'm not sure. That could have gone a lot of ways. Like, it felt like there was, like, no hope for them.
I mean, she's going to have to, like, escape Cuba to
Like, it felt like they broke up, but he was sort of loyal to the, you know, memory of her. So, don't know if that would have come up again, but it definitely...
Thank you, Kafir, for writing into us. We greatly appreciate it. And thank you for listening. The last email is from Yannick. Kendra, would you mind taking this one? I pared this one down, but we appreciate the full email. But here are the points that we wanted to bring up here.
Sure. So the subject line is 70 more innings. rewatchable crew. I will admit that I feel like Ginny dealt with her issues a bit too quickly. One breakthrough, as I've learned with my own past mental health issues, usually doesn't solve everything. Not immediately, anyway. I didn't find the ending as heartbreaking as the fact that the minute it occurred, the season that never happened began flashing before my eyes. Mm-hmm. The Blip flips, the Amelia not liking working with Leo, the never gotten a chance to become famous retraining montage of Daddy Lawson helping Ginny recover the use of her arm by casually destroying Evelyn's expensive restaurant equipment. If only the Disney Plus production slate wasn't such a clusterfuck, maybe we'd have something. Then again, I still do firmly believe that this show was very much a right time, right place, right people kind of situation, making it hard to continue exactly as the great Fogelman had intended. Till our next correspondence, Janik. Oh, sorry, there's a PS. For everyone, thank you so much for doing this show. I didn't have the same appreciation for it when it first came out. Now, though, I will forever wonder what drama is going on every time I pass a stadium and why Daddy Lawson's father decided to deliver that one particular line that makes me mad the more I think about it.
What line was this?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh, my God. I'm really curious about what reference that was because, yeah, Daddy Lawson's daddy was, there was a lot going on there. So, yeah.
Yeah, there was so much so that I forgot about that. Until just now. Oh boy. Yeah, I think that we've been talking a lot about this, but I think the things that could have been is something that weighs heavily on all of us in watching this show. It would be nice maybe if it got a little bit more. We'll see what happens. We have the rewatchable effect. And who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
Keep it crossed because, yeah.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Yannick, so much for your letters. We really, really appreciate it. And that is it. That's it for Pitch. Again, if you have thoughts and comments about Pitch, please do find us in all of those different ways, email, Twitter, Facebook group, all that kind of stuff. But that is it for our discussion of this show. As I said before, next time we will be talking about the movie A League of Their Own.
We have a few ideas about what we might do after Pitch. Quite a few ideas and quite a few backlist, but I'm kind of curious if anyone has any wildcard suggestions from the audience to throw out, things that you might have wanted us to do before, or just newer things or things we might not have heard of. We've got a slate of shows that we intended to do with various combinations of rewatchable hosts, some of which are available and some of which have not. And I'm kind of curious if there's anything that might like fit this moment in time better that we haven't considered. So, you know, it's not that often that we're like, tell us what to do, what show to do, but perhaps now is a moment where we could take some suggestions if anyone's got something, because this is a show that we've done and it was like abruptly cancelled and we haven't done one of those in a while and it was an interesting experience. And yeah, I'm just curious if there's anyone has like a thought of something that's like, you know, a single season or two seasons that's, you know, abruptly cancelled like this, or something that might be interesting to this time in the world with the pandemic, or, you know, something else that we're missing out on, like sports or something that is, yeah, just topical. So yeah, maybe this week is a week to throw some suggestions into our bucket.
Please do. We're always down to watch more TV. Thank you. And thank you, Natalie. So that's it for us. We will talk to you later. I'm Danielle.
I'm Kendra.
I'm Mariana.
I'm Natalie.
And I'm Brittany.
Bye, guys.
Bye.